So there's a meme that's going around. Behind every husband that has 1,000 friends, there's a wife who hates everyone. It kind of applies to us. Like, I don't hate everyone, but you have 1,000 friends.
Yeah, who are also your friends now too.
Yeah, but mama likes alone time.
No new friends for Laura.
No new friends. Welcome to the Kapower Hour.
A Kapodcast.
By the Kapows. I'm Lauren Powell.
And I'm Sean Casey. And we're the Kapows.
So there are two types of people in this world.
And they always seem to end up together.
Today's TTOP, or T-Top. Still trying to figure out what we want to call it.
TTOP? T-Top? I guess I'm definitely the social butterfly in the relationship. And you don't hate everyone. You're just not trying to be friends with everybody.
You could have a conversation. Could and have. You have conversations with the Uber driver, with the Trader Joe's cashier. Like, literally every encounter. And not just being polite, not just like niceties, which I'm happy to do, you know, as well. You're getting backstory. You are getting like invited to their wedding. And I am like, Sean, we go to too many weddings.
People are interesting.
That's your big, that's
what it is. You never know who you're going to talk to.
I remember like when we first started dating, I distinctly remember because you had a large group of friends. Mm-hmm. And I just remember being like, oh my God, everyone here likes him. I pay
them very well.
Yeah. I've never met someone within a group of people where I barely knew you. I barely knew your friends, but it was just like, I just remember like leaving one of those like hangouts and being like, whoever this Sean guy is, he's like king of the friends. I don't know. I king just of the friends.
I wonder how my friends would feel about you calling me that.
I mean like you're king of friendships.
King of friendships. There we go.
Yeah. You're not king like of friendships. I'm not saying you're like the ruler of your friends.
Yeah. 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 It's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah. Your mom did that.
What? It's a weird thing to say.
No, like she raised you to be a very friendly human.
I think my dad's like that too. We joke that my dad has CTTM written across his forehead. Come talk to me.
Wow. I think you were born with that as well.
I don't know. But like that's with strangers. Like my dad will be on vacation and we'll look over and he will be sitting at someone else's dinner table having a conversation with people. I'm not like that.
That is my worst nightmare. I'm just like, I barely have time to talk to and nurture the friends that I do have. So if I am out to dinner with those friends, no new friends. I am not hanging out with strangers at the table next door that I'm never going to see again.
Yeah, so I'm somewhere in between you and my dad.
Oh.
It's a weird thing to say.
That is very weird. Where do we go from here?
I don't know.
So this whole idea about you having a lot more friends than the average human kind of came up recently and just got me thinking because in January we celebrated your 40th birthday. I'm sorry. We celebrated your...
a birthday.
Birthday.
Editor. No, I'm happy to be 40. I feel good. 40's new 30?
A lot of people don't believe that you're 40.
Yeah, very immature.
A lot of people also don't believe that you're not 5'3". So...
we'll never know.
Just blowing people's minds. But anyway, you wanted to go to Mexico. You wanted to go to this all-inclusive, you wanted to do an all-inclusive thing that would be easy for all of your friends to join as they wanted, to join or not join, right? Mm-hmm. And you wanted it to be accessible from the many places around the country that you would be inviting people. Mm-hmm. So we went to Puerto Vallarta and 30 of your friends bought plane tickets, reserved hotels, agreed to surprise you wearing a romper and came to Mexico, which I thought that was amazing. You know, I made a video about surprising you where we were all wearing rompers.
Which was incredible, by the way. You did an amazing job planning that trip and getting all the surprises in.
Stop. You're so nice. This is why you have too many friends.
It was incredible.
Thank you. So I made this video thinking the internet was going to like be like, ooh, bunch of people in rompers. Ugh, that's so stupid. Wrong. You can never predict what the internet is going to be upset about.
Can I cut in here? I love how you make videos predicting like what negative reaction people are going to have.
I know. It's not.
It's not healthy.
Not healthy at all.
What if you're like preparing for all the positive reactions people are going to have?
Yay, rompers. So anyway, the biggest thing like out of all the videos I've ever made, I've never had a video duetted so much or stitched on TikTok. And stitching is where they play the first like 3 to 5 seconds of your video, and then all of a sudden it cuts to their reaction. This is the one video that was just like going all over, and every single person who stitched it, they all had the same thing to say. And that was like, who has that many friends? It wasn't who convinced that many people to wear rompers. It was literally kind of sad, part of it, because it was like, I have four friends, you know, it's like people were like almost dissing you.
Yeah.
Like, can you believe this guy? He's got 30 friends. What a loser. I only have two. I'm like, that's not the flex you think it is. But that, it was when the internet was like freaking out that you had so many friends who would agree to.
Yeah. I mean, I think the key is have a big family who also has spouses. So that's one thing.
It's only like 8 people.
And then I like to just give people the opportunity to say yes, to do fun stuff. You know, it's like, hey, I'm going to Mexico. Here's the details.
Yeah.
Here's what it costs a year from now.
Would love for you to join.
Would love for you to join. If not, no big deal. Yeah. We're going regardless. And I think that format worked really well because it was like, give people enough time to plan and they can make it.
Yeah.
So this was like, all right, we want as many people as possible to come. So it was all inclusive. No one's splitting money. Every time I go out to dinner, there's not an issue. Drinks aren't an issue. So I think it was really like low stress, low risk for people to come. And
yeah. And you wanted it to be like a vacation for people.
Right.
Versus like renting an Airbnb where you're like all in the same house together, or you have the same itinerary. This was meant to be like, come as you please.
It's your vacation too.
Yeah.
Like, you just have to celebrate me like 95% of the time, and then you get 5% to yourself.
And wear a romper.
Which I didn't know was going to happen. That was amazing.
I didn't know no one was going to complain.
I think everyone enjoyed it.
Yeah, but if anyone, you know, every time I've planned enough bachelorette parties to know that anytime you pick a style of clothing for someone else to wear, there's going to be some gripes. Not a single person was like, I would rather not participate. They just were like, I was like, hey, here's the link. Make sure it gets to you by so-and-so date. And everyone did.
That was an incredible surprise.
Very responsible.
You did a really good job.
You tried to ruin it.
I tried to ruin it.
Yeah.
I just love how I'm like, hey, should my brothers and I wear matching rompers? Wouldn't that be
literally
funny?
Literally 5 days before we were supposed to leave, you were like, because matching is our thing. And you were like, oh my God, I remember distinctly, I was like sitting there in the bathroom doing my makeup. You were in the shower. You opened the shower door and you're like, hey, should me, my brothers and my dad wear matching rompers in Mexico? Meanwhile, I had already like for the past 2 weeks been coordinating with everyone to buy rompers. So I was like, oh, that's such a good idea. And I text your brothers and dad. And I was like, if he brings this up, you will say that, no, that is stupid. You would never do that. Please don't make me. Got it? Everyone was like, yeah, we got it.
And then I didn't even bring it up to him. I was just like, it's too close to the trip.
Yeah. It was a romping good time.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're still close with people that you went to elementary school with.
Yeah, I am. It's kind of weird. We've known each other for a long time.
Like, you text them daily.
Yeah, we have a group chat with my Michigan buddies that someone's always bringing up something, some post, some sports thing.
You're also really tight with a lot of your high school friends.
Yeah, I'd say most of those guys are
also
like...
Also were elementary?
Yeah, so elementary, middle school, and high school is kind of like grouped together.
And then also college.
But also a lot of those guys went to college too. So.
Right, just lifers.
Just stuck together the whole time.
Like, I have my best friends from college
mm-hmm.
that I'm still very close with, that you've now become close with their spouses,
yep.
but like didn't really keep up with anyone from high school. There are some people that like we DM on Instagram every now and then, mm-hmm. like, reply to each other's stories.
Do you think that's because like from the age you were 7, you told your mom that you're moving to Hollywood to become an actress? And so like you just lived those years being like, I'm not going to stay here. So there's no point in like, you know, grooming friendships with people.
No, because I had really good friendships mm-hmm. in high school, and I had really good friendships in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
My elementary school friends, because I moved, I lived in Virginia for K through 8th grade. I moved to North Carolina freshman year through high school and then college. So like I had my Virginia friends, then I had my Fayetteville, North Carolina friends, then my Chapel Hill friends.
But your Chapel Hill friends like are your ride or dies.
Ride or die. The elementary school friends, it's just like you move a state away. It's a lot harder to mm-hmm. keep up when you're a child and you can't drive. How many of your friends are you really close with that you met? Because most of your friends are still in Michigan. But you still have 1,000 friends out here in California that you didn't grow up with.
Yeah, I think I was a lucky product of a few different things. One, I went to grad school in San Diego. So that's like a built-in friend group. And then my brother went to law school in San Diego. So then like all of a sudden I'm becoming friends with his friends from law school. And then honestly, the Michigan State Alumni Club, boop, boop, go green. That was how I met a lot of my friends. Was when I first moved here, I didn't know anyone. And I would go watch football on a Saturday morning at a bar. And it was just Michigan State guys sitting watching football. And eventually you have enough beers to get up the courage to go talk to people. And just, yeah, you know, you have something in common. Most of them are from Michigan as well. I mean, that's kind of actually how we met, right?
Yeah. My friend was dating your friend.
Who was my friend from the Michigan State Alumni Club.
Yeah. So I guess the lesson that you're sent, kids, for everyone listening, how to have friends, go to all the schools. Don't stop going to school.
Go to all the schools.
Have your
or know people that are going to schools.
You know people going to schools. Act like you're still in school after school.
That's a big key.
You get invited to so many bachelor parties where I'm like, when's the last time you talked to that person? But I guess the last time you talked to that person, it was really meaningful.
Or I just texted them yesterday and you didn't even know.
Yeah, maybe. But like, have you ever counted how many bachelor parties you've been on? It's got to be like over 20.
I was going to guess 15 to 20.
You're also 40, so you've lived a long life.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say 15 to 20. I would need to like count it out.
I've probably been to 5 or 6.
Really?
Yeah, but it's also like when guys go on bachelor parties, they go on bachelor parties with 10 to 15 dudes.
Or 20, like my brothers.
That's insane. Girls are like maybe 7, sometimes more. It's just a lot of personalities to coordinate. Mm-hmm. Guys are just like, yeah, I'll sleep on the floor, whatever.
Yeah, I've gone to a lot of bachelor parties with a lot of guys.
And then when we had to choose a wedding party, you've been a groomsman how many times?
I'd say 10 to 12 times.
Oh my God. Yeah. So like when we were choosing our wedding party, I had to be like, well, I am only intending to have 8 bridesmaids.
And I was like, I'm going to have 16.
100. Yeah. And I was like, I like symmetry. So you can have 8. So our wedding party, you had to cut. I'm very sorry for the people that got cut. On your side.
Yeah, but I mean, wedding parties, you can like make them be ushers. You can do certain things.
You still get invited to your
exactly. Party. Or like the wedding coming up. I'm not standing up, but I'm an usher and I still get invited to the before the wedding getting ready ceremony and stuff like that. So
how many group texts are you on right now? Like how many group texts do you have with people? Because you know how you can pin.
Yeah.
You can pin. First of all, you can pin your favorite or most frequented texts at the top of the iPhone.
Yeah.
I only have like 6 pinned, but I probably only really use 4 of those, 3 or 4. You have like how many do you have pinned?
I have 9.
9. That means.
But one of those is you.
Doesn't matter.
So I have 8 group texts pinned.
9.
Well, you're not
9.
A group.
Oh, 9. They're all group texts.
Yeah, so no, I have 8 group texts, and you is my number one.
Better be.
And then 11, 12, 13.
And those are all
14.
Recent.
15.
How many of them are, 16. How many of them, oh my God, how many are silenced?
None.
Oh my God.
I
don't God.
Silence. Yeah, I have like 15 or 16 active group texts.
How do you not need medication to like quiet your brain?
I put my phone on. Like silent mode or like focus mode, or I'm at work, so I'm not replying to them all day, every day. I love our Wordle group text. You're like, no, don't include me on
not
Wordle.
Not interested in being part of that group text. I love Wordle. And I like when you're like, oh, so this happened in that group text. And I'm like, cool.
Yeah, I keep them updated.
I don't want to be on it.
I tell them about your scores and your trials and tribulations.
How dare you?
Nope, you're part of it, whether you like it or not.
That is private.
I'd be like, oh yeah, Lauren didn't get that one either.
That never happened. You, oh, okay. Who didn't get it today?
Yeah.
And who did?
You did.
Thank you.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
So when we first started dating, we were dating long distance for like 8 months. I was in Los Angeles, you were in San Diego. One of my best friends was living in San Diego. I came down to visit her. That's how we met. But when you, after 8 months, decided to move up to LA.
After claiming I was never moving to Los Angeles and I was never dating a girl who lived in LA.
You should just stop lying.
That was actually my plan all along.
When you moved up to LA, there was this kind of like, okay, we need to make friends. We need to make new friends together. You know, we got a new apartment together, which I think is really crucial when couples move in together. I think like if you move into someone's space, it's not really your space. It feels like really big opportunity for a lot of fights.
Yep.
We moved into a brand new apartment in a brand new part of town. So it's kind of, you know, we were experiencing this new thing together.
Yeah, for sure. Cause like you were living in Hollywood, all your friends were in Hollywood area. You had this whole like group, and I think it would have been hard for me to like move. Well, one, your apartment was like the size of our office right now.
We're filming my little studio,
which was amazing. It was amazing. I did love coming there and hanging out, but
I could touch my stove from my bed.
Yeah.
How many times in your life can you say you can do that?
Never. For us, starting over, moving to a new neighborhood, especially in Los Angeles, where it's like, if you leave a neighborhood, like it's
basically leaving a city.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to like see those friends who live in Hollywood when it's half hour, 45 minutes, sometimes an hour away.
Yeah.
So that kind of allowed us to sort of like start a clean slate and like make friends as a couple.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think moving in together in a new city
kind
of allowed us a clean slate to kind of start over. I think one of those things too, that ghosting your friends when you're starting a new relationship, when we were dating and I was leaving San Diego every weekend, it was a really strong sign to me that like I had this awesome life full of friends and we were having so much fun together, but I was choosing to go see you every weekend. And I think for me and my friends, that was a very clear indicator that like, oh, wow, this is really serious, because I have this amazing life that I'm living right now, but I'm choosing you like every single weekend of my life. You're my best friend. You're way above all the other friends. So
I'm in that number one group text pin spot. Better be. That's how you know it's real.
Right. Right. Exactly. When you're willing to
leave your 1,000 friends. For most people, Sean aside, making new friends as adults is really hard. Making couple friends as adults is also hard, but I think really important. When you first moved to LA, we joined a gym, and that's where we actually ended up meeting like 2 groups of some of our closest friends in LA.
Yeah, it's like couples dating, right?
It is like couples dating. Yeah. It's funny. So now that we've moved back to San Diego, moving back to San Diego was really easy because you had so many friends down here that I was friends with their wives.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so funny how like friendships in LA versus friendships in San Diego. Like in LA, we had all these individual friends. Even if they were couples, we would hang out with these 2 people one weekend and these 2 people a separate weekend. In San Diego, all of our friends are friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because, like, I guess shared interests is a lot of the reason in San Diego. But like in LA, if you have friends that live in Hollywood and Santa Monica, they're not hanging out. That might as well be like two different states. Here in San Diego, it's just like, it's so easy for everyone to meet up for dinner, to meet up for whatever reason.
Yeah, backyard barbecue, whatever.
Everything is just so much more convenient and close here in San Diego. That's the thing. Throwing like a backyard party here at our house is so hard because I feel like we have, you have these like two or three pockets of friends where it'll be like, this is your Michigan State group, this is your business school group, and this is your softball team. And that alone is 75 people. You know how hard it is to cook hamburgers for 75 people?
Yeah, I did it.
Yeah.
Burn the arm hair off.
Yeah. In LA, you're lucky if people come to your party. Like, you invite 75 and 25 are willing to make the trek.
And that's just because, yeah, because it's so hard to get from place to place. You know, what if you start dating someone and your friends don't like that person?
Yeah.
Or your family doesn't like that person.
Introducing you to my friends was easy, especially introducing you to Bix was like, I don't know, we went to a sports bar. You both were wearing two different team jerseys. It was football Sunday. You guys were like instant BFFs. Mm-hmm. Like, you've had a situation, I guess, where your friends did not like your partner.
Yeah. And I think my lesson from that was like, how long have you known all these people in your life? Like, they're just looking out for you, right? When you're in the middle of it, it's hard to like hear that and listen to that.
Yeah.
But then looking back, I was just like, oh my gosh, everyone was so right. You know,
were they telling you while it was happening, or was it after the fact? Like, people were afraid to bring it up.
Maybe a little bit of both.
So. I think when you have like been friends with someone long enough that then you see them with a partner, you've seen enough of their past relationships where when they do meet the like right one, and you can say like, oh my God, you have found mm-hmm. your person. You have found the perfect person for you. Mm-hmm. Like, that is, A, it's really great to be able to tell a friend that.
Yeah.
And B, it's also really great like hearing that.
Sure. Well, yeah, you want that validation from your friends, right?
Yeah.
Or the internet when everyone's like, oh, you guys are perfect for each other. I'm like, yeah. Oh, thanks.
Now, not just like, what if your friends don't like your partner? What if you don't like your partner's friends?
Yeah, that's tough. I think that's really tough. Things change, right? Like, you're friends with people in certain circumstances, and 5-10 years from now, maybe you're in different circumstances and like your friendship was predicated on certain things in certain situations. And maybe you both have grown and you've grown yeah. in separate directions, or maybe one person has grown differently. So the idea that you have to be friends with somebody forever is wrong. Like, I'm lucky.
That's an interesting take coming from you. Coming from the guy who is still friends with his 4-year-old bestie.
Sure.
I feel so strongly about the friendships I do have that it's very easy for me to not give time or attention to the friendships that aren't as important or like mm-hmm. aren't immediately as strong. I don't know. I really want to spend time with the friends that I have, that it's easy to just be like, well, I haven't really talked to, it's not, and I'm not saying that I get hit up and I'm saying turning people down, mm-hmm. and like won't hang out with somebody, but I think it's usually very mutual that like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
I just love my friends.
But I think you're also a person where it's like, hey, I'm in this phase right now and I'm in this location and I'm here and I'm putting all my energy here. I mean, I think that's a lot of like parents, once you start having kids, yeah. they become friends with the parents of their kids, yeah. because that's what's immediately in front of you. And that's where you're spending all your time.
So it is wedding season for most people. And I kind of think about this a lot. And like, we've had friends planning weddings and it's like, how do you decide which of all your friends or acquaintances or coworkers or whatever, like weddings are expensive. You can't invite everyone.
Well, I would say if you're from Michigan, then you just invite everyone and everyone that you've ever met that you're related to.
Jesus. I think you did that.
I tried to.
Thankfully, we were a flight away. Yeah. So a lot of people declined.
No, but I think my sister got married in Metro Detroit and had like 300 people at her wedding.
Ouch. That just hurts.
But, you know, it's a lot more affordable, so you can do that. Where
I just don't think I would want to. Even if it were, if it costs the same, I would not have had 100. So we had 125 at our wedding. Maybe we could have had 150. But like, to add 150 more people, like, our dance floor was packed. We got to just talk to every single person we wanted to. It felt like our close friends and everyone we care about was there. Like imagine we would be doubling our wedding size. Oh, that's my worst nightmare. You could have done it.
Cooler than me.
I know you could have done it. But one of the things that we, you know, venue size kind of limited, sure. Venue size and budget limited how many people we were allowed to invite. But one of the things somebody told us, I don't remember, I probably read it on Pinterest, that was like, ask yourself, are you going to be friends with this person in 10 years? If the answer is yes, invite them. If you don't see you being friends, which like maybe that applies to coworkers or kind of like ancillary friends. Like if you don't see yourself being friends with them in 10 years, they don't make the guest list.
Yeah, which I agree with that, but it's also tough because it's like, you don't know who, yeah, how do you know? So it's like looking back at our guest list, like, yeah, there are people that we invited to our wedding that like we haven't seen probably since our wedding day. And then there were people who didn't get invites to the wedding because we weren't really close with them at the time. And I'm like, oh, I would have loved to have you at our wedding, you know, looking back 8 years now. So
I still think it's a good rule of thumb or a good piece of advice if you're trying to whittle down your guest list. Like if you have to make some cuts, think about like who you would absolutely want to be in your life in 10 years. Maybe it's not, oh, I can't really look into the future. I don't really know who I'm going to be friends with in 10 years. It's who do you hope you're still friends with in 10 years?
Yeah, I think that's a good change to that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm like so petty that I'm like still mad about the plus ones that I didn't want to give out that are no longer in a relationship with those friends.
What about the plus one that someone tried for really hard and we allowed it and then they broke up like a week after we got married?
Who was that?
Oh, okay. You don't remember.
Oh, it was like a week?
Maybe not a week.
Is
maybe
it the person who got in a car accident on the way there?
No.
Oh. I just remember, look, here's wedding etiquette. If you're bringing a plus one, especially if you had to ask for that plus one, if that plus one does not provide a gift, you are responsible for providing the gift on their behalf. Like if you come with two, you give a gift for two. Maybe this is why I don't have many friends. I have strong opinions about like being fair and like equal.
Yeah.
You don't come to a wedding empty-handed if you're a plus one. You're not there to just drink the... Oh, I'm getting heated.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
I'm getting heated.
All right. Is this a whole other episode?
It wedding is. Etiquette? Wedding etiquette. Wedicette.
Wedicette.
Next episode. Another one.
Another one. Do you want to go out on like a nice note?
Mr. Walkway. Mr. Friendly over here. Mr. Lead me to the... No way. You know you're really good friends with someone when you feel like you can travel with them and then you're still friends after. It's a very delicate game to play.
Yeah. There, I have a lot of friends, but I have a short list of people that I would travel with.
I am probably on a lot of people's like
do not travel with
list. Like I can say I'm a very particular person. And I think that's why we get along is because you're not particular. And like if two people are too particular, then you're just the particularist. You know,
it's a really well thought out statement there.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. But like when you're traveling, you need like someone who is willing to make the plans and someone who's willing to go along with the plans. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then like if you're traveling as couples, then if all four people are the planners, but no one's willing to go along with the flow, that creates a lot of problems.
That sounds like every bachelorette party ever.
And never a bachelor party ever.
I know. It's not fair. Like, I want to go on a bachelor party. I feel like guys either find these incredible, massive houses that somehow don't cost that much. Or I guess it's a little bit of both. I guess you've stayed in plenty of houses that you were like, ooh.
Yeah. But also guys don't care about sleeping on the floor or on the couch or like on a towel in the bathroom or something. This last house was amazing. I got my own bed.
Yeah. This last house, because you are still going on bachelor parties in your 40s.
People are still getting married in their 40s.
You're still getting invited.
Mm-hmm. But traveling, I think, is a really good way to test, are we close with these people? And like, do we have a really good friendship with these people? Yeah. Because they can go, you know, either it's going to go swimmingly or you're like never going to talk to those people again after you get back from the trip.
I think the key is to like be okay with having your couple apart time, your couple alone time, being like not taking it personally, just being like, here are the nights we're going to do our own thing or here are the days we're going to do our own thing. And then we're going to meet back up. And like, we've gotten lucky. We've traveled with close friends in Italy and in Switzerland, and particularly in Italy, we did like kind of half the trip alone and then they flew in and then we left and they did half their trip alone.
Yeah, that was a really good format.
Yeah.
Like a shared week in between.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's tricky. That's like there's two types of people. in every couple. So right. That's just four multiply times by two.
Yeah.
I am grateful for every friend who has ever traveled with me. Thank you for putting up with me.
You're a little high strung.
Yeah. That's one adjective. I get a lot of anxiety.
Yes. You get travel anxiety, which anyway, is that's another, a whole another episode.
Basically, vis-a-vis, ergo, to sum up, Sean has a million friends. He's a very nice human. He makes everybody want to be friends.
I guess my question to end is, why is it that it's always these two type of people that end up together? Why is it me who ends up with you? Are there people who are two me's or two you's? Or is it...
Right. Well, I think you're trying to say like, okay, if you have a relationship and someone is super friendly and someone is a little more introverted, why does that pair so well? And it's because if you have two extroverted idiots, that's 2,000 friends. That's, Sean, do the math. That's 1,000 times two. That's a lot of friends. There's no time. How do you get anything done?
Okay.
You know,
you can make it work, maybe.
Oh my God. Then you would have married yourself if it could have worked. And I think I'm an extrovert introvert.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like to be extroverted when I want to be extroverted. You're just always on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like sometimes off. Sometimes, you know, my battery runs low. But I think we balance each other out.
Yeah, I think that's the key to a lot of these two types of people things.
The T-tops.
T-T-O-P.
T-T-O-P.
That they balance each other out.
Yeah, that's why they work. Okay. Well, is there anything you would like to say to your 1,000 friends listening?
I love you guys. Thanks for coming to Mexico. Thanks for texting me every day. And the people who I'm not texting, that doesn't mean I don't like you.
Oh, jeez.
Can't believe she would say that.
I have more internet friends than I have real human friends, and I'm okay with that. Because I can sign on when I'm ready to chat.
Yeah.
So thank you, internet friends, for being my friends. Thank you, everyone who's listening, for being our friends.
Yeah. Thanks, friends.
Godric is done. He wants to get out of here.
I'd be interested to know if it's more often the husband who's the extrovert or the wife who's the extrovert.
Well, let us know.
Or the husband and husband, or wife and wife.
Yeah, wherever you're watching this, if you have the ability to comment, let us know what it is like in your experience.
Yeah.
All right. See ya. Kapout. We're kapout. Remember, that's our sign off.
Oh, yeah. We're kapout. See you next Wednesday. Been holding that one in, huh?
Yeah, buddy.